Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on this Tuesday edition of the program. We're live on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, streaming online for those of you maybe outside of the area or at your desk at work, BigXSportsRadio.com, on the TuneIn app as well. All kinds of ways to connect with our program every day as we talk IU and Southern Indiana sports like no one else. Don't forget, we also podcast on the SoundCloud app and also Apple Podcasts as well. We'll remind you throughout the show different ways for you to catch up with a show or a segment maybe you missed from earlier this week or last week here with us today. Glad you're with us. Again, we do this every day, 11 o'clock. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosier sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. A lot of stuff to get to today. A big headline segment forthcoming, and let's set the lineup for the show presented by Honey Baked Ham. We've got headlines and news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in segment number one. Segment two, we'll talk with Greg Doyle, sports columnist of the Indianapolis Star. Greg's high on IU football, as I think a lot of people are high and excited about what could happen. This big game coming up on the road against Michigan State, a win there for Indiana would just be unbelievably huge to start the year 4-0 and make you wonder what the ceiling could be for this IU football team this season. Obviously, a loss doesn't mean anything negative. The Hoosiers drop to 3-1 if that happens, and of course have some real battles forthcoming in Big Ten play. But there's optimism that with the play, the sound and solid play of Peyton Ramsey and some other breakout players on this IU team so far, that they can be competitive or maybe beat a Michigan State team that hasn't gotten off to the season, the start, even though they've only played 2 weeks out of the three so far, that maybe some thought. They had a close game, a close win, like 38-31, something like that, against Utah State earlier in the season on week one. Then they went and lost to Arizona State. No real shame in that, but a lot of people expected them maybe to win that game. So we'll talk about that with Greg. We'll talk about maybe a little Indianapolis Colts with Greg as well, and a few other topics when he joins us today. And our segment with Greg every week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Also, later in the program today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. Mike is one of the original guys out there covering IU, and he joins us every week to talk IU football. We'll talk some IU basketball. We'll talk IU recruiting as well. Hoosier hysteria is just around the corner. We kind of mention that every day, under 2 weeks now until that event. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun because Romeo Langford's going to be suiting up that night. The crowd we know is going to be intense. It's going to be, as discussed, maybe one of the more exciting and packed Hoosier hysterias ever of recent times. So we'll see how that plays out. But don't forget, running parallel to all the excitement for the upcoming season that night is a huge night of recruiting. Trace Jackson Davis will be there. Keon Brooks will be there. I'm sure that Armand Franklin, who's already committed and in the fold for the 2019 season, he will be there. A lot of guys being asked if they're coming. A lot of people have been invited as far as from a recruit perspective goes. So it's going to be a huge night for IU recruiting. There will be all kinds of faces there, near and far, old and young, as far as prospects go. And that's always something fun to track that night as well. So we'll talk about that with Mike when he joins us today on the program. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one today, this is a recruit that we haven't talked a target, I should say, that we haven't talked that much about. But with the high school basketball season forthcoming and his location in Bloomington, playing for Bloomington South, a lot of you guys listening that like to track recruits and follow players will be able to see this guy up close and personal, and that's Anthony Leal, a 6'4" junior. He's a member of the 2020 class, a guard, again, plays at Bloomington South. He had a really good summer. I got a chance to see him, of course, during the high school season a year ago a few times, but also during the summer, watched his Bloomington South team play at IU team camp. He's long, he's tall, he's grown into his body. He's got a lot of potential and talent. Bloomington South as a team should be really good this year, and he just got a scholarship offer from Iowa during a recent visit to their campus. He adds that Iowa offer to offers from Bradley, Xavier, and Evansville. Of course, Xavier, a nice high major program, but he's had a lot of mid-majors offer him and be after him now for a number of years. High majors have been watching him and evaluating him and making contact with him, and with Iowa and Xavier offering, that's kind of a sign that there's a lot more, I think, of Big Ten level offers, high major level offers forthcoming, especially given that he hasn't played a moment of his junior season just yet. He's going to visit Indiana, at least he's scheduled to visit for Hoosier Hysteria weekend, an unofficial. He was recently at Ohio State. He has visits set, and I believe these are all unofficials. It's kind of odd now that underclassmen under these new rules can take official visits, but he's got visits set to Marquette, Maryland, Michigan, and possibly Stanford is the latest that I could find on him. Indiana hasn't offered yet, but if he continues the progression that I've seen, and of course those IU coaches are tracking him and talking with him on a regular basis, it's hard to see that at some point, forthcoming in his junior year or perhaps later in his junior year, maybe even after his junior year, that he won't get a scholarship offer from Indiana. I would bet it comes sooner rather than later, given that Iowa and others are jumping on board, given that he has a good relationship with the IU coaches. He's been on campus a number of times. I mentioned he's going to be there for Hoosier Hysteria as well, but definitely a name in IU's backyard that we'll have the opportunity to track for the next couple of seasons. The 2020 class in-state, and I touched on this some yesterday, the 2020 class in-state isn't one of the more notable classes as far as high major talent goes. There are going to be some players that obviously are good enough to play at and be recruited by Indiana, the Purdues, the Butlers, the other bigger basketball programs in the state, but it's nothing like the 2019 or the 2018 or really a lot of the more recent classes that we've had, which tell you how blessed we are as far as high school basketball and talent goes in the state of Indiana. But Anthony Leal, 6'4" junior guard, Bloomington South, will be a lot of fun to track him. Of course, New Albany plays Bloomington South, Floyd Central, Jeffersonville. I think Silver Creek plays Bloomington South. What a test that will be for them again this season with the talent they have. My point is that no matter what school you're a fan of or what games you get out to, you're going to get a chance to see this young man. I would be surprised if he doesn't hold an IU scholarship offer soon coming down the road. One other quick recruiting note, James Booknight, he's a guard from up east. It looks like that the recruitment, Indiana got pretty involved with him back in July, very heavy, offered a scholarship. It looks like that he's all but signed, sealed, and delivered potentially for UConn. He took three official visits, UConn, Miami, and Virginia Tech. He told Adam Zagoria that was my last one, quote, end quote, speaking of the Connecticut visit that happened this past weekend. A lot of people think he'll pop and make a decision this week or very soon. And again, UConn is what a lot of people think will be ultimately his decision. So it doesn't look like Indiana will get a visit. It doesn't look like Indiana really that active in his recruitment based on his comments to Zag's blog and Adam Zagoria. Headline number two today, how about this? And this is not me, okay? I'm just reading what Rick Bozich wrote. And again, it's not Rick Bozich either. This is the site that he found. IU football rated third in the nation, not the Big Ten Conference, but third in the nation. Nice story, neat story from Rick about some of the computer-based ratings out there for college football. He found one by Ken Stromness, and it's Ken's Ratings, K-E-N-S, ratings.com. Has Alabama 1, Mississippi State 2, and Indiana number 3. You think, what in the world? The guy has a formula. It's not clearly spelled out, but he does talk about the method that is formula, the points and the how it all weighs in. You can read it for yourself. It's a little confusing, and again, it's not complete in how the ratings are determined, but it's obviously a formula of some sort. And Indiana third, again, not third in the Midwest, not third in the conference, third in the country, according to KinsRatings.com. I don't think that that's a rating system we're going to be hearing a whole bunch about. Excited about IU football, as I'm sure you are. Excited to watch the game on Saturday night, but third in the country might be getting a little ahead of ourselves. Speaking of IU football, headline number three, Stevie Scott. He's second in rushing in the Big Ten thus far, both in total yards and average yards per game. He has 388 yards on 69 carries through his first three games, which is an average of 129.3 yards. Only person better in the conference is Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor. He's had back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. He's the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. I mentioned this yesterday with Zach Osterman when he joined us. He's the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Second week in a row that he's had that honor. And he's a true freshman, not a redshirt freshman. He's a true freshman. Obviously a huge, huge game coming up for IU football at Michigan State. We'll talk with Mike Pegram some about that later in the hour. I even saw a column from one of the papers that covers Michigan State where they kind of talk about this Saturday night's game being like a season-defining game for Michigan State. They haven't played well so far. They beat Utah State by 6 or 7 points. They lost to Arizona State. This could be a game for them. Every much as a positive momentum it could be for Indiana if they win or even just play really competitive. This saying it could be the season for Michigan State. So obviously there are some things not going the way that they would like, people would like with Michigan State. We'll see if Indiana can capitalize that and get what would be a huge win to start the season 4-0 for IU football. Headline number four, our final headline. I'm going to talk about Providence volleyball for just a moment. They are a 2A school by size, by enrollment. Of course, because of success, winning state championships, getting the points for moving through the state tournament, they are now competing in Class 4A, which in volleyball, basketball, other sports, baseball, that's with New Albany, that's with Jeffersonville, that's with the bigger school, Floyd Central, the bigger schools in the area. They are number two right now in the Class 4A rankings. I think it was the Coaches Association poll has them number two in 4A. So keep in mind, a 2A school by enrollment rated number two in Class 4A. And what makes me speak about Providence volleyball? A couple things. Number one, they had another player commit to play college volleyball yesterday. Courtney Glotzback to Jacksonville State, a junior outside hitter, has committed over the weekend to Jacksonville State. Crazy thing is, she's the fourth Providence volleyball player to make her college decision, to make her commitment. And it's not like there are four players going to local colleges, which is great if they were to continue their volleyball careers, but they're all going to Division I schools. Lily Bivens is going to Nicholls State. CeCe Rush, just a junior, she's committed to Louisville. And we had sophomore Allie Hornung, who's committed to Purdue, with us on the program right after she made her commitment a couple months ago. Unbelievable. Four Division I players, underclassmen, most of them are, on the Providence roster. They absolutely have a chance to win a 4A state championship. Terry Perica is awesome. The program that she has built and how she runs things with Providence volleyball. And the good thing is volleyball across the area is good. Christian Academy is good again this year. Silver Creek, I understand they have a real chance in their respective class. And Providence and Silver Creek play Wednesday night. So if you're maybe not a regular volleyball fan and don't track the high school stuff as closely as other sports, tomorrow night at Providence, the varsity game follows the JV. Should be about a 7 o'clock or so start. That's an approximate guess. But get out and see a good volleyball game. Providence with their four Division I commits and obviously some other talent on that roster as well. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and live bands on Saturday. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll be back with the great Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star presented by Coffee Crossing after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with you here on this Tuesday edition of the program, Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. He joins us every Tuesday, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once your kids are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, we're going to start with IU football today. It's actually an exciting subject. 3 weeks, 3-0, non-conference schedule complete, now getting ready for the first Big Ten game at Michigan State, a Saturday night game, and it's an interesting matchup, I think, to say the least.
Yeah, and I like how you set that whole thing up, Matt, by saying Indiana football, it's actually an interesting topic. almost as if to say, over the years we talked about this, and it's really not been very interesting, but we've had a choice. Now it's interesting, but it is. You're right. It's very interesting. They haven't really beaten anybody great, so it's not like, yeah, they've knocked off three top 10 teams, but they haven't lost, which you can't say for a lot. I mean, people are losing to everybody these days. Nobody's safe. Nobody. And they've won, and they've won pretty well all three times, and they've, you can see why. They've got nice pieces, and it's something to be, if you're an Indiana fan, to be really excited about, because they got a lot of nice young pieces. I mean, they're not just all fifth-year seniors that they're all going to be gone. It's not that way at all, especially on offense. Well, heck, defense is even younger. So, yeah, I'm liking this. I'm liking having a football team that matters. I thought it was going to be in our state, Purdue. Obviously, Notre Dame always matters. But I thought Purdue was going to be the team this year that really is going to matter. Looks like it's Indiana. That's great.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. You mentioned this. We were talking back and forth a little bit before the show, but Indiana kind of has been, and again, the conference plays for Indiana at least is just getting started. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves by any means, but the Big Ten, you know, kind of needs some good news, some interesting positive stories. And again, through the first 3 weeks, Indiana has been one of those positive things. I don't know if we still have Greg or not. If he's with us, Doug, if you can check, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest, and trying to reconnect with him here, talking IU football to join the program. We'll stay tuned. I think, Greg, we have you now. Are you back with us?
No, you had me the whole time. I put it on mute because I was doing something here. I didn't want you to hear me do what I was doing. I forgot it on mute. And the thing is, what I said was brilliant, and I can't say it again. I have no idea how I did it, but so it's going to be dumbed down a little bit. But what you said, it wasn't brilliant. I want to be clear about that. But what you said about their big, it's good for the Big Ten to have a decent storyline finally. That goes both ways. It's great for the Big Ten that somebody is worth talking about a little bit. And Indiana being Indiana, I'm not sure outside of our state if I talk about the Hoosiers yet, but at least we can. But it's also great for Indiana because they look to be pretty good. And so it's not because they're not taking advantage of the Big Ten yet. They haven't. They're just beating other teams. But they look to be pretty good in a year where the league is very clearly not great. It's possible that the league has a bunch of teams that are somewhere between 15 and 30, which means it's going to be hard to, you know, top 15, top 30, hard to win those games. But I don't even think they're that good. But there's, except for Ohio State, there's nobody you can't beat. Like, they can't beat Ohio State, especially Columbus. They can't, you know. I don't think anybody's going to be offended when I say that. You can't win that game, but that's okay. But there's not another game they can't win, including Michigan State. There's not a single game they can't win. And, you know, they talk about finish. For Tom Allen last year, his word was finish. Finish games, finish seasons, all that. Well, this year, this team so far is finishing. The pickings are ripe.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, is with me on Tuesdays. Talking about positive storylines for IU football, and I guess even for the Big Ten Conference so far this season, how about Stevie Scott? He's put together some unbelievable numbers, back-to-back Freshman of the Week honors by the Big Ten Conference, and he's one of those young pieces that you mentioned at the start of our interview today for IU fans to be excited about. He's a true freshman.
Yeah, and he's built like a man. I mean, he's a and nowadays, a lot of the really good athletes, you know, Romeo is one of them, the really good high school athletes come to college ready to go. And in football, it's, especially at running back, it's not easy to do. But he's here. He's ready to go and is going. And I love the fact that he's a not just a freshman but a true freshman. So he's not a redshirt freshman who, if he decides to turn pro, and I'm not trying to rush him out of school, A, and B, I'm not trying to say he's an NFL player. That's too early to do any of those things. But when you have a young player that big, that effective, that fast, you got to at least wonder what the future is. Well, he's not going anywhere for 3 years, and that's great because that means rather than having one guy having one great year and then he's gone, no, you got him for two more. Like, this is not Tevin Coleman running for 2,000 yards and he's gone. Although Coleman had a pretty nice year the year before that, but still, this is a big deal for IU to be able to build around this guy and more.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joins us Tuesdays on the program. You had to bring up Romeo, which means I've got to bring up a follow-up, and you know that we both enjoy talking about him and obviously can't wait, like most people, for Hoosier hysteria and, of course, the season to get here to see him play at the college level. But I saw a picture of Romeo in the stands at the football game, IU home game against Ball State, over the weekend. And we talked about the roster when it first came out that we thought he'd picked up some weight, and there have been pictures of him working out and things over the summer in the sand pit with Cliff Marshall and other IU players. But this was just a casual picture. It was, I think, him and Robert Finnessy actually sitting together. And my first thought was, he looks bigger. His arms look bigger. And that's a good sign because we know he's got the skills, and it looks like his body is rapidly becoming ready for Big Ten level basketball, even as a freshman.
Yeah, and the thing with Romeo, as good and as talented and as skilled and as important as he's going to be for Indiana this year, he's a target. And Juwan Morgan's really good, and you can't take him for granted, and other teams won't. But Romeo, I suspect, will be the target of other teams, which means he's going to get beat on. They're going to throw bodies at him. They're going to be physical with him. They're going to try and take him out of his game, whatever that is, because when you're a glider like he is, when you're a high flyer, you don't try to beat him at his game 4 feet above the rim. You try to beat him somewhere else. You try to beat him up. So that takes muscle to withstand that, certainly to withstand it over the course of 20 or whatever Big Ten games. So that's huge that he's able to put this on this fast. But, you know, he's such a genetic lottery winner that it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I know Cliff Marshall's great, and so I don't really mean this, but at the same time, I kind of mean this. It wouldn't surprise me if Romeo goes to the weight room, looks at a stack of weights, and gains 4 pounds of muscle. I mean, he's just so physically gifted. What he does, it's not normal. It's nothing about him is normal, and I bet he can just look at a protein shake, and all of a sudden he's got more protein in his body.
Absolutely. Kind of the way I look at tacos or hamburgers and gain 5 pounds without eating. So.
Right. Genetics are genetics. His are better than ours.
Yeah. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Speaking of Romeo, and I think we may have touched on this some last week, but heck, it's a great topic to talk about. There have been a couple. Andy Katz had one. I saw another one earlier this morning. I don't even remember who it was from, about impact freshmen in college basketball. And it doesn't take a genius, especially from these parts, to know that we all think and hope that Romeo is a major impact player in college basketball. I guess the only thing I can find interesting to bring up about Romeo being on all of these preseason lists of impactful freshmen expected for their respective teams is the fact that the national guys, I mean, Andy Katz, those guys, I mean, you know these people, that they track it closely. They talk to the coaches and find all the information out as far as what's going on in summer workouts and practices and things like that. But everybody not only has him on their list, but he's like two or three or four on every list out there from, you know, fairly credible guys, if there is such a thing as a credible, impactful freshman list before the season begins. That's interesting to me that he's right up there with the R.J. Barrett, with the Zion Williamson, just as he was right behind those guys in the player rankings as a high school athlete.
Yeah, you either being on those lists and being high on those lists, clearly, and I know you're not saying this, it doesn't mean, well, then you're going to be great.
Sure.
But at this point, you're either on that list or you're not. And if you're not on that list, that's a really bad sign because, as you said, these reporters are talking to, whether it's Archie or staffers or whoever, they're talking to folks that would know. And if your name is not on that list, that means something bad. Like, you can take that to the bank. If you're not on that list, you've been told some bad stuff. If you're on that list, there's an absence of bad, but more than that, there's probably some good. And the thing with Romeo is, like, we all know he's going to be good. We all know that. What we don't know is, well, how good? I think, I mean, it's 13 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. That, I mean, that's good. That's really good. Or is he going to be averaging 23 a game? I mean, we just don't know. And it could go all over the place. Romeo to me is like a Christmas gift that we're all going to just open. Because we know it's special. You can see the box sitting there. It's big and it's fun. And, like, I know if my name's on it, that's going to be fun. But you don't know what it is yet. And we haven't opened that box yet.
Talking with Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. A couple quick subjects I want to cover before we let you go. One is the Pacers. I can't get the story to pull up. I had it here earlier today. But Victor Oladipo and some, again, these are, you know, hypothetical, a prediction of a couple people, but he was ranked, I don't know what the spot was, I just had it. It's a number 20, something like that, of the top 100 NBA players. I think this was a Sports Illustrated ranking out. Something to pass time in the offseason. That's impressive. Whether it's opinion of one person or thousands of people, he obviously has really made himself a worthwhile NBA prospect. And you and I have talked about some of the reasons that Indiana and the Pacers are such a good home for him, given his connection to the state by playing at Indiana. But in addition to him, and I saw you tweet something out about this that made me want to mention it. The Pacers have a handful of players of, let's call them, NBA, quote, prospects of the future on that list. And that's intriguing for a team that really seems to be building and maybe building quicker than what some people thought they might.
Yeah, ESPN has a list of top 100, and they haven't done the top 50 yet.
It must have been Sports Illustrated I saw with Oladipo.
Well, I don't know. One of them had Oladipo at 20th.
Yes.
And whoever it was, I think it was SI, but whoever it was, Sporting News, one of them, that one wasn't ESPN. People around here were a little bit taken aback at only 20th. Because when you look at it, he was NBA 13 last year. That's top 15. So all of a sudden now he's not in the top 15. He's in the top 20. And some folks are wondering. In fact, I think the list that put him at 20, I think wrote something, said something about expects a little bit of regression. From Oladipo, and or if nothing else, can't keep up. Maybe less than regression, maybe more like this is a career year, and it's almost not fair to expect him to be this good all the time. To which I would say, with a lot of people, you can say that about, sure, but Oladipo's career arc is going straight up, and he's young, but also he works real hard and came with a chip on his shoulder, determined to work hard, and told us all when the season ended that chip is still there and he wants to do it again. And improve again that much. So I'm not saying he's going to go from top 15 to top 7 or 8 player in the league, but I'll be more surprised if he's only the 20th best player in the league than I would be if he was 10th. Like, if you're going to tell me there's 3 NBA teams and he's not going to make it, or you're going to tell me he's going to make this All-NBA second team, which of those are you going to pick? I'm picking second team.
Yeah,
he's getting better, not worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then finally, real quick, ESPN is the one that's come out with the top 100, but they haven't done the top 50 yet. Oladipo's name hasn't shown up yet, which means obviously he's top 50, and the question is how high is he? But there are 6 Pacers on this list. You count Oladipo, he's coming. Miles Turner apparently is 49. They haven't announced it yet, but that's out there. They have 4 of the guys in the top 100. You look at the math of this. The NBA has 30 teams, 100 players in the top 100, obviously. That's basically 3 players per team, with maybe 10 teams having 4. That's how it kind of breaks out. So if you have 3 or 4 players, that's kind of average. Well, the Pacers have 6, and 3 of those guys are 23 or younger. Miles Turner, Sabonis, and, well, Oladipo's not that young, but still, he's on the way up. So, and out of those 6 guys, 4 of them, Kevin Pritchard got in the last year since he's been in charge. They are clearly, just like Oladipo, the Pacers as a whole are trending in so much the right direction.
Absolutely. That's exciting to hear. When you are looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, and great pastries. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe. Greg, great to catch up. Try not to put us on mute next time, man. We want to hear from you when you're with us.
Right. That was the smartest thing I said. No one heard it but me. Whatever. I'll try better next time, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Greg Doyle, yeah. Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Always fun to have on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Little IU football, in addition to what Greg and I spoke about. We'll also talk about Hoosier Hysteria. We'll talk about some recruiting associated with Hoosier Hysteria and much more coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, who is always with us Tuesdays on the program. Lot of IU insight when Mike joins us here on the program. Mike, let's talk some football to start. Exciting times in Bloomington. The team is 3-0, headed to a big game against Michigan State. I know it's a road game for Indiana, but I sense a lot of excitement from IU fans, maybe even some that don't typically follow the Hoosiers as close, but 3-0 through conference play. Big game coming up with Michigan State, a team that initially was thought to be maybe a Big Ten front runner. Maybe now a team that Indiana can beat. We'll have to see.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sample size of Michigan State because they only played two games, but and they were, you know, I think number 11 in the AP poll to begin the year because they brought everybody back from a 10-win team. So it's you know, it's hard to say. They kind of blew that game at Arizona State in the fourth quarter. They were ahead by 10 early in that final period and let it get away from them. Otherwise, they might be in the top 10 right now in the polls. But they're ranked, and they're really good defensively. Well, I think one of the top teams last year with almost everybody back. So it's a really the time we really find out how good this Indiana team is and but they, what they've done is shown that they've made some progress, and how much is we'll be learning Saturday night.
I agree. Saturday will be a big measuring stick type game, and something that maybe fans can use as a gauge for the remainder of the season. Yesterday, I mentioned this some. I want to bring this back up again today. Big Ten Freshman of the Week for the second week in a row. I highlighted some of his stats earlier on the program. Stevie Scott has been, I don't want to say an unknown type player that's been completely a surprise, but he definitely has been somewhat of a surprise for Coach Allen and the football team. What a lift he's been to this Indiana team so far.
Yeah, we knew he was a pretty raw, good talent, but because he had missed most of his senior year, he's a little bit under the radar as far as, you know, guys who are coming in, newcomers that could make a huge impact. But we saw from the first week at camp that this dude could play. I mean, he was like one of the first guys we identified that looks like an SEC kind of body, just really big thighs and speed, and which is unusual for someone who's only 18 years old, and he's got a tremendous future. And we got to see a little bit of what Ronnie Walker can do with that 18-yard touchdown run. He's another true freshman. So the running back position is in tremendous shape for Indiana as long as those two, you know, remain on the campus.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Mike is with me Tuesdays. We talk IU basketball and, of course, football. I want to get some hoops in with you today. Hoosier hysteria is under 2 weeks away. It's always known as, obviously, kind of the unofficial kickoff. The team will be practicing before that behind closed doors, but kind of the unofficial kickoff to the season from a fan perspective, I think. And it's always known, too, as a big night for recruiting, both real serious prospects, guys that are upperclassmen, seniors, 2019 guys, but also young guys, maybe players that Indiana is just beginning to say hello to. And, hey, come experience basketball at Assembly Hall, the Hoosier Hysteria event. And we know some, and we've known some for a while, like Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks and a couple others, but any big recruiting thoughts a couple weeks out on what you're hearing as far as special guests or just generally how big that night is for Archie Miller and the coaching staff each and every fall?
Yeah, we've been here and then been trying to do something with Eric Gordon and Victor Oladipo coming back to campus, and both of them have indicated to us, I know Eric Gordon did recently, that he plans to come back and help the program. And you know, obviously that's in September is before the NBA camp gets going for professionals. So we might see that, but it's one of those things where they want to keep on the down low a little bit to build up the suspense and make it seem like a bigger deal. It's a big weekend because you got 2 5-stars from in-state, but you also have Jemias Ramsey from the Dallas area, who
combination guard with great size, and he's pretty good. And they're bringing in some really good young talents. The best sophomores in the state will be there, and they'll have a lot of young talent below that. Because you just can't get that kind of environment at any, very many places. So they try to leverage that as much as possible.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lots of lists and preseason rankings of teams and players and conferences and other things out there to kind of wet your whistle and get you ready for the season. Some of it is reliable somewhat. Some of it is not reliable much at all, but just something to fill some space and keep the excitement going. Multiple lists of impact freshmen that I have seen over the last week or so, including a more recent list on 24/7 Sports that I read at Peaks.com, has Romeo Langford not only as an impact freshman, but within the top five, top four in the country. He is not only what we know, going to be an impact freshman for IU. I think we've known that he'd be an impact freshman with how close you and I and others in this area have followed him for years now. It's no surprise. But the national guys, they've all got him really high up on their list, 2, 3, 4 in the country as far as freshmen that they expect to do big things and have a major impact for their respective programs.
Yeah, the thing with Romeo is the plate's pretty well set for him at Indiana. He'll come in into his two-guard spot. He'll be a focus of the offense along with Juwan Morgan. I think that's what some of the media see, that this is a guy that will get a lot of shots, but yet still have nice collection of talent around him. So all the ingredients are there for him to score a lot of points and be a huge factor. Maybe some of the other top five, top ten guys are a part of a collection of people at a Duke or a Kentucky and may not be featured as much as Romeo. So I think that plays into it. But I think, Romeo's just so talented that, he deserves that even if he was sharing the spotlight a little bit more.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, here on this Tuesday edition of the program. Couple other recruiting things. Obviously, a huge recruiting night forthcoming with Hoosier Hysteria, as we've already discussed. But James Booknight, the guard from up east that Indiana seemed to get pretty active, pretty interested in, especially over the month of July. From all reports, and I mentioned this earlier in our headlines segment, but from all reports, it looks like he very well may be headed to Connecticut. He said he will not take any more visits. UConn, Miami, Virginia Tech, three recent schools to get official visits from him. I think it's safe to say IU out of the mix for him.
Yeah, that's probably one of the reasons I mentioned Jamias Ramsey right off the bat there with you, because he's really the last major player that, from that guard position that they might be able to add, that because some of the other guys, Anthony Harris from the D.C. area and Booknight, really seem headed somewhere else. Not as big a deal with Armin Franklin to Indiana, but that looks like the writing's been on the wall for a couple of weeks, and that he was probably headed to UConn, and that looks like what's going to happen.
Okay, interesting to see. Also, from a recruiting perspective, Anthony Leal is a player that I mentioned earlier. He's at Bloomington South, so he's right in the backyard of the IU campus. He is someone that is going to be really fun to follow as far as high school basketball goes the next few seasons. Bloomington South is always a tremendous program. They play the New Albanys, the Jeffs, the Floyd Central, so lots of opportunities to see him. And he's really developed. He's really grown into his body, developed into quite a player. He was at Iowa over the weekend. He got a visit, got a scholarship offer, I should say, during that visit. He's got some other offers: Bradley, Xavier, Evansville. He's taken visits recently to Ohio State. I think he's going to be at IU for Hoosier Hysteria. It's kind of one of those names that you assume Indiana at some point is going to offer him as long as his development continues. I had a chance to see him play a couple games at IU's team camp in June, and I thought he looked tremendous. Your thoughts on him as a prospect, and is it just something where the coaches probably have a strong relationship with him and his high school coach and his family, given their proximity to the campus, just going to track him for a while before an offer maybe is extended?
Yes, it's not a tremendous class in Indiana, which will help his, chances of, with Indiana and Purdue and so forth. But I think they just want to wait and see how he develops. He's got a pretty good shooter, which is obviously going to make him a good fit for a lot of schools And but they watched him pretty closely this summer, decided to wait a little bit. And I think a lot of, you know, influence there will be some of the other players that, you know, in the Midwest or that Indiana might be in on, whether they really think they have a shot or not, and whether, you know, if Anthony stays open until then, because they have a tremendous shot with him because he has family tied into the university. He's from Bloomington. So that's one that could probably be a little bit more patient on than normal.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Our guest, we started with IU football. We're talking some IU basketball and basketball recruiting to close the segment. If I had to put you on the spot, and you know I do it from time to time with my questions, but if I had to put you on the spot, Trace Jackson Davis or Keon Brooks, who commits first?
Oh, I think Trace Jackson Davis might pull the trigger after his Michigan State trip in October. I think that's maybe the first weekend of October. I don't think he'll do anything before then, but he will have made all his officials at that point to the major schools, and I think he's a little bit ahead of Keon in really thinking about things.
Mike, I think I had saw when Trace was headed to Iowa for a visit, for an official visit, a few weekends ago, there was a Q&A with an Iowa newspaper, the beat writer for the basketball team, and he mentioned that he might even extend his recruiting to the spring and make a decision after the season. All the other reports, people like you, others that we talk to on this program, they all say the same thing, that, hey, maybe watch things this fall coming up here, 3, 4, 5 weeks down the line for Trace Jackson Davis to be ready to make a decision. Is it, again, kind of one of those things where Trace says, oh, I'm not committed to Indiana, I'm wide open. I don't know why everybody says that, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't know why everyone says that I'm going there, that I'm a favorite from there. Is it kind of along those lines where maybe he's just wanting to be recruited and maybe we'll continue the process, but when it's all said and done and the visits are in the book, very more likely that you'd want to get it done, I would think, unless there's an extenuating circumstance or a real issue, a real challenge for you to decide between your final couple schools.
Yeah, that's what we think. But, you know, they've been pretty adamant about going through the process. We just have our own thought is that once the official visits are done, the process, you know, is pretty well a long path, unless you're not sure of what school you're going to pick. And I think that was the case last year with Romeo Langford. And also with Romeo, you had we had Archie in his first year. Now you have you know, full season, and you're pretty familiar with what the kind of team or kind of system and everything is in place. So that's kind of why we think, even though there's talk of spring, we think he may choose, you know, after the final official. But, you know, I don't know. If he decides to wait, it wouldn't be a huge surprise. We've talked about it. It's just our, you know, our guess at the educated guess is that, you know, he might pull the trigger after all, things are all done on the visit front in October.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike is always with us Tuesdays here on the show. Mike, thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, Matt. Take care.
We'll head to a commercial break. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Apple Podcasts when you're there. If you would, leave us a rating and a review. It's a great way to catch up with the show each and every day. If you miss a segment or you miss a full show, right there to Apple Podcasts. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with the final segment. We'll wrap things up for this Tuesday program after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here to wrap things up. Thanks so much for being with us on this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget, we're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. You can download the SoundCloud app or just simply point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We're also on Apple Podcast. Just search the Hoosier Report. If you would, kindly leave us a positive rating and a review. That'll help us reach others that might be interested in the show. Two easy ways to stay up if you miss a segment, you miss a show, you want to go back and hear an interview again. We really appreciate those of you that are checking us out live and or on podcast as well. Couple notes to wrap things up. Indiana and Notre Dame are going to be in Fort Wayne at Blackhawk Christian High School later today to watch Caleb First. He's one of the big names to watch in the 2021 class in the state of Indiana. Current sophomores, Indiana will be there today. A lot of programs have been checking in with that youngster this fall and some of these early season practices. Also, Blue Ribbon, the big college basketball yearbook. It's a great production every year. They released earlier today their preseason top 25. Indiana's not in the top 25, but Kentucky's 1, Kansas is 2, Gonzaga is 3, Duke 4, Tennessee 5. As far as Big Ten conference teams go, Michigan State, the highest-rated conference team at the number 10 spot. Purdue is actually in the top 25 at the number 19 spot, and also Michigan in there at number 23. We are scheduled on Wednesday's show to chat with Brian Evans, former IU standout. He has just been inducted, or will be inducted, I should say, into the IU Athletics Hall of Fame for the 2018 class. Brian is also a nominee. He's been nominated for the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. Doesn't necessarily mean he'll get elected in that first go-around, but I would think he would have a decent chance. He is up on that this year as well. He's going to join us Wednesday just to catch up. What's he been up to? Getting a lot of kind of memories when you see his name out here with his different Hall of Fame opportunities. You start to think about some of his great days as an IU Hoosier. So we're looking forward to catching up with him on the program tomorrow. And, of course, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com will have a lot of great information for us Wednesday as well. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, we do this each day at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X. The replay most days at 3 o'clock. Podcasting on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. Streaming online, BigXSportsRadio.com. The TuneIn app as well. There's all kinds of ways to tune in with what we've got going. Don't forget, coming up Friday, Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X. We'll tell you later this week about our focus games. Red Zone light coverage on the radio Friday nights. We do high school football like it's never been done here in the area. That's going to wrap it up for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.